This is the Quality News Network. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is in Egypt today to organize the upcoming Middle East peace talks sometime next month. She met with Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak after meeting separately with Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. President Bush remains steadfast in his plan to increase the number of American troops in Iraq despite public and congressional opposition. In a televised interview this weekend, he admitted that the Democratic Congress may try to stop him. However, he responded, quote, "I've made my decision and we're going forward." Vice President Dick Cheney also attacked the Democrats who oppose the president's plan for not coming up with credible alternatives. In Baghdad, Saddam Hussein's half-brother and the former head of the secret police were executed today. The pre-dawn hangings came 2 weeks after Hussein was hung, all for crimes against the Shiites in the early 1980s. In the northern Iraqi city of Mosul today, a suicide truck bomber killed 7 people and wounded 28. His truck blew up near the offices of the Kurdistan Democratic Party. Defense Secretary Robert Gates arrived in Afghanistan today. Earlier, while in Belgium, he said this is not the right time for diplomatic talks with Iran. Gates has started a week-long trip to Europe and on to the Middle East to gain support for the president's Iraq policy. A defiant Tehran said it would push ahead with its atomic plans and begin to install 3,000 atomic centrifuges despite UN sanctions. Experts think that within a year, Iran could have enough enriched uranium to produce a bomb. A Kenyan security official reports that a top leader of Somalia's militant Islamic movement was arrested at a refugee camp in Kenya near the border with Somalia. In London today, the trial began for the 6 men accused of a 2005 suicide bombing plot on the city's public transportation system. Tomorrow, the trial of Vice President Dick Cheney's former chief of staff, Louis Scooter Libby, will begin. He is accused of lying about the disclosure of a CIA officer's identity to members of the media. Today, across the country, Americans honored the slain civil rights leader, Martin Luther King, Jr. The powerful winter ice storm that hit 6 Midwestern states is being blamed for 36 deaths now. There are more than 300,000 customers in Missouri who don't have electricity. The storm is heading east with its mix of sleet and snow. And initial estimates are the cold snap that hit California has cost the state's citrus industry hundreds of millions of dollars. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Monterey is the home of a new national radio voice. It's America Back on Track from the Quality News Network. Tune in weekdays at noon Pacific to this new national broadcast, a conversation with America designed to get our country back on track. America Back on Track features local and long-distance guests sharing global ideas on where we are, how we got here, where we want to go, and how we might get there. So take an hour out of your day to plug into the future, our future. Discover the solutions to the problems that have gridlocked our nation for all too long. Eschew the agenda-driven palaver of the left and the right. Tune into America Back on Track for honest talk about the important issues and how they can be resolved. America Back on Track, weekdays at noon on KRML, 1410 a.m. in the Monterey area, and streaming live online at QNNAmerica.com. America Back on Track, our ticket to a healthy and productive future.
Scientists have discovered a new gene linked to Alzheimer's, which may help develop a new treatment for the disease. A team of doctors in Manhattan is planning to conduct the first womb transplant operation in the U.S. They are screening patients who have been unable to bear children because of illness or other injuries. The world's first test tube baby, who is now 28 years old, has given birth to her first child in Britain. General Electric will pay nearly $5 billion to purchase Britain's Smiths Group, an aerospace business. Early this morning, a fire broke out at the Chevron refinery in Richmond, California. One employee was injured. China's stockpile of foreign currency, already the world's largest, has topped $1 trillion, according to the Chinese government. For the 16th year in a row, the Labrador Retriever is the most popular dog in the U.S. The number two spot is now held by the Yorkshire Terrier, according to the American Kennel Club's 2006 registration data. Time Inc., which publishes Sports Illustrated People and Fortune magazines, as well as its namesake, will lay off more than 150 employees along with other cost-cutting measures. Half of the jobs cut will be in editorial positions. The move is designed to give Time Warner more resources to devote to the Internet. The U.S. markets are closed today because of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. On Friday, the Dow Jones closed at a record high of 12,556. There's more at our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Dramoff.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board.
Oh.
11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the
and
amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is, if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. Now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
All righty, g'day, everybody. It's Monday afternoon, evening, and happy MLK Day to you folks there in the United States. And it's, well, you know, Tuesday morning here, as it always is when it's Monday afternoon up where most of you guys are. And welcome to Fox Up here for the beginning of a new week. We got heaps to do today, and you know, I believe the title for today's blog post is Stupid Is as Stupid Does, and boy do we have a Stupid Is as Stupid Does story, for you. We've got some Exxon news, we got a few things. And, of course, we have the track of the day from Days of the New, personal favorite of mine, a band that never got as big as it should have been, but that's for later. Might as well just cut straight to the chase here. Via treehugger.com, great website. The Bush administration plans to bring back nuclear testing. That's right, folks. You know, 20 years, whatever, we've been without this nonsense, and suddenly Bushy comes in and we start researching new and improved nuclear weapons, as though the number that we have to blow up the planet, you know, unteen times over wasn't good enough. We need new and improved ones that are safer and longer lasting, more mobile. Oh boy. So Treehugger has here, it says, the Bush administration is planning to rebuild the entire U.S. nuclear arsenal, recreating the type of design, development, and production capability for nuclear weapons used in the United States during the Cold War. These new weapons should ultimately replace the entire U.S. nuclear arsenal in a program called Complex 2030. The initiative would risk a return to underground nuclear testing, create more nuclear waste, and undercut efforts to limit the acquisition of new nuclear weapons by other countries. See, it's all this thing about not letting anybody else, you know, rise to any type of power. The plan for a new American century specifically stated global dominance and, you know, taking down any possible rising rival. The United States shall have no rivals. But they continue on saying, the sad fact is that the United States has not cleaned up the waste generated by producing tens of thousands of nuclear weapons the first time around. Hazardous waste and radioactive contamination remains at many locations throughout the United States. A decision to resume nuclear warhead production would involve a huge commitment of human and environmental resources and increased contamination of the environment. Fortunately, under U.S. law, proposed projects like Complex 2030 must undergo a review of the environmental impact of the plan. That review must consider alternative options and must take public comments. In what is called the Preliminary Environmental Impact Assessment, which is taking place now, the scope of the proposed review is open to comment, including the types of alternatives that should be reviewed. And at Treehugger, there's a link to where you can send a letter urging the Department of Energy to examine an alternative. Now, also, there's also a link to the resource story, which is at military.com. And just so you know where your tax dollars are going to be sent over there, and, you know, this is... The announcement here from military.com and referring to the announcement of the new nuclear arsenal. It says the announcement to be made by the Interagency Nuclear Weapons Council avoids making a choice between the two designs for a new weapon called the Reliable Replacement Warhead, which at first would be mounted on submarine-launched missiles. The effort, if approved by President George W. Bush, which of course it will be, and financed by Congress, would require a huge refurbishment of the nation's complex for nuclear design and manufacturing, with the overall bill estimated at more than $100 billion. That's right, $100 billion. How's that deficit looking? And who's going to profit from all this? Cronies and military contractors, and, you know, the Gulf Coast continues to be a disaster area, you know. No health care for, you know, poor kids. You know, the list goes on. You know, you just... What would $100 billion be useful for? You know, we built all these weapons in the past and didn't use them. I mean, we used them once. But we didn't use them, so that was money down the gurgler. So, you know, I mean, are we going to continue to just let this... sick little man. Sick, sick, sick little man. I mean, what kind of an inferiority complex does someone have to be riding around with to take such pleasure in destruction and the development of technology for more destruction? Just insane. Whole thing's nuts. I tell you, nuts, nuts, nuts. Now, they also say in this article before we head out to our first break that says if Bush decides to deploy the new design, he could touch off a debate in a Democratic-controlled Congress and among allies and adversaries abroad who have opposed efforts to expand the arsenal in the past. While backers of the new weapons said it would replace older weapons that could deteriorate over time and reduce the chances of a detonation if the weapon fell into the wrong hands, critics have long argued that this is the wrong moment for Washington to produce a new warhead of any kind, and I agree. And they say that these new weapons will be less able to be stolen by terrorists. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just waiting to see a whole bunch of guys in you know... bearded guys in turbans going and stealing a warhead. Right. Right. Anyway, that's what they'd like you to believe, you know, is a possibility. And what a bunch of garbage. Anyway. We're coming up on quarter past the hour, so we're going to take our first break here for the day. If you want to get in on the conversation, you can dial in to 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. We're going to come back with some, you know, more news stuff. I got some stuff on Exxon trying to make themselves look good. And the track of the day. So stick around. We'll be right back after this.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's go. Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
Today, all Americans are feeling the pinch of high energy prices. And this winter, the cost of heating your home could account for nearly half of your energy bill. I'm Energy Secretary Sam Bodman, with steps you can take to save money and make your home more energy efficient. First, give your home furnace or heat pump a checkup to ensure it's running as efficiently as possible. Proper insulation in attic, ceilings, floors, crawl spaces, and exterior and basement walls can save 30% on your home energy bill. And insulate the heating ducts, even in unheated areas of your house. Finally, installing a programmable thermostat will ensure you don't pay for energy you aren't using. Program the thermostat down to 65 degrees for 8 hours a day to reduce your heating bill by up to 10%. You have the power to make a difference. You can reduce your home energy bills and help our nation reduce its energy use.
For more energy efficiency tips, please visit our website at www.doe.gov or call toll-free 1-877-337-3463. This powerful savings message is provided by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Alliance to Save Energy.
Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. John Fox coming to you from Sydney, Australia. Before we do our track of the day, actually, I'll save that for later. This one was sent to me from Susan, one of our bloggers. And this is just too great. I reported a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was from Cowgirl's blog at unreportednews.net, that North Dakota had legalized the production of industrial hemp. And, you know, if we got back into hemp production for paper and wood and fabric and things like that, and stopped using things like cotton, we would be a lot better off, and your clothes would last longer. but I love this. From Bismarck, North Dakota, David Monson began pushing the idea of growing industrial hemp in the United States a decade ago. Now his goal may be within reach, but first he needs to be fingerprinted. And the article goes on to say that this guy is looking to be the first official, you know, hemp farmer in North Dakota. And what's the best part about it? The guy's a Republican! Now, he's going to be growing industrial hemp. You know, if he was growing, you know, the fun version, I would have to say he's probably a libertarian, because isn't that what libertarians are, pot-smoking Republicans? Says the farmer, school superintendent, and state legislator would likely start by growing 10 acres of the crop, and he spent part of the weekend staking out the field he wants to use. I'm starting to see that we maybe have a chance, Monson said. For a while, it was getting really depressing. Last month, the state agriculture department finished its work on rules farmers may use to grow industrial hemp, a cousin of marijuana that does not have the drug's hallucinogenic properties. The sturdy, fibrous plant is used to make an assortment of products ranging from paper, rope, and lotions to car panels, carpet backing, and animal bedding. Applicants must provide latitude and longitude coordinates for the proposed hemp fields, furnish fingerprints, and pay at least $202 in fees, including $37 to cover the cost of criminal records checks. So, you know, interesting. And another impediment is the DEA's annual registration fee of $2,293, which is non-refundable even if the agency does not grant permission to grow industrial hemp. Processing the paperwork for Monson's license should take about a month. Okay, how often do you reckon you're gonna see this kind of thing happen where someone's gonna make the application and the DEA is just gonna pocket the cash and tell them nah. Oh, let's see. But I just think the idea that he's a Republican is a great, great move. And Arnold Schwarzenegger, who has had the most incredible transition over the last year, had also approved legislation last year that set out rules for industrial hemp production. And he's asserted that the federal government laws lack the authority to regulate industrial hemp as a drug, and it shouldn't be, because, well, it's not. Okay, and on that kind of pseudo-happy news, we'll move on to the track of the day, and today's track is from a band that I've played before, a band called Days of the New, and this is off the second album, known as the Green Album, because so far there's been the Orange, the Green, and the Red albums. Was released in 1999 after the great success of the band's debut album, but in heading towards this album, the road to success took its toll on the band, and the rest of the members kind of split and went off and did their own thing called Tantric, which I've always heard good things about. But however, Travis Meeks, the founder of Days of the New, was undaunted and continued on. And the track I'm going to play today, I think, is just for any nation who's having the Bush administration twisting facts to start new wars like Iran and Syria, you know, for the Iraqi people, and any U.S. citizen who doesn't want to be wiretapped, today's track is a very, very kind of simple track called Enemy. And the hook is very simple. I'm not the one who's trying to be your enemy. And one of the other lines is, listen now, you little man, I'm not the one who's trying to change you. So, George W. Bush, you are a little man. And just before we go to the track, just from the history page at the Days of the News site, which has just recently been restored. And I've noticed that there is a new Days of the New album in the works, the Purple album. And I think as soon as Travis gets himself a new record label, there will be some new Days of the New stuff. But they say here, Days of the New News Green album was released in August of 1999. Compared to visionary works by Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd, and The Doors, the album was nothing if not epic and highly personal. Showcasing musical scope barely hinted at on the Orange album, the Green album met with mild commercial acceptance even as critics recognized it as, quote, a progress report from an artist in the midst of a head-spinning transition, unquote, from Rolling Stone. This album is outrageous, complete with chamber orchestra and Celtic choir, which you really won't catch much of on this particular track. This is one where I think he was up late and started playing with all the technology and the looping toys and came up with this. So something that's a little bit different from new. Here you go. Everybody sing to George Bush, the little man. I'm not trying to be your enemy. Roll it, Agnes.
Yeah. So listen down, little man, I'm not the one trying to change you.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Wad, Wally, and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Many dogs and cats spend endless days indoors staring at the wall, living for the moment when you will come home and tell them you love them, take them out, and make a fuss over them. Dogs and cats need physical exercise and mental stimulation, things to do and think about in order to be healthy and happy. Please set time aside for them and give them a real life and real love. For more information, please contact People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals at 757-622-PETA. Or helpinganimals.com. That's helpinganimals.com.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on a Tuesday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday evening. And that there was a little taste of another track called Take Me Back Then off of that same Days of the New Green album. And I would definitely suggest going out and checking that album out if you don't mind listening to something slightly challenging. But I'll tell you, that album, when I was, you know, still working in concert production and things, I used to pull that album out as, you know, housewarming music for an event and whatnot when stuff wasn't supplied. And that particular record ranks as number one on my list of albums that caused the general public to have to walk up to me and go, "What is that?" And I think I must have sold probably about, I don't know, 150 copies of that album over the last few years. And there's a really, really great track on there called Skeleton Key. And it's an instrumental track. And it's just a wonderful bit of counterpoint arrangement based on
tubular bells, brass xylophone, and strings. And it's just really, really fascinating stuff. Anyway, so please go and check out daysofthenew.com or travismeeks.com, and you can check out some of that stuff. And if the rumors are right that there's a new one on the way, I will be one very happy camper, because I've just really, 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 you know, there are a few things in the last 10 years that really have made me, you know, kind of stop dead in my tracks. That's one of them, for sure. Day is the new. Okay, enough about me babbling on about music that I like. Okay, you may remember, I think it was last week, I covered the story about, you know, Exxon being called out for throwing tons of money at so-called scientific groups that would question the science behind global warming. Well, suddenly at MSNBC today, Exxon cuts ties to global warming skeptics. Funny that. Out of New York, oil major ExxonMobil Corporation is engaging in industry talks on possible U.S. greenhouse gas emissions regulations and has stopped funding groups skeptical of global warming claims. Moves that some say could indicate a change in stance from the longtime foe of limits on heat on the heat-trapping gases. Exxon, along with representatives from about 20 other companies, is participating in talks sponsored by Resources for the Future, Washington, D.C. nonprofit. The think tank said it expected the talks would generate a report in the fall with recommendations to legislators on how to regulate greenhouse emissions. Mark Boudreau, a spokesman for Exxon, the world's biggest publicly traded company, said its position on climate change has been widely misunderstood as a result, and as a result of that, we have been clarifying and talking more about what our position is. Well, your position has been so far to lie about the facts to protect your out-of-control profits. This is the company that last year had so much cash, they didn't know where to put it. So, I do not shed a single tear. The Competitive Enterprise Institute, a nonprofit advocating limited government regulation, and other groups that have downplayed the risks of greenhouse emissions, CEI acknowledged the change. I would make an argument that we're a useful ally, but it's up to them whether that's in the priority system that they have, right or wrong, Director Fred Smith said on CNBC's On the Money. CEI is the outfit that ran those advertisements featuring the girl playing with the dandelion that downplayed the risks of carbon dioxide emissions. Remember that one? Carbon dioxide, we call it life. Okay, these are the same people. So I will wait to see more on this, because it always worries me when a company like Exxon suddenly announces that they're getting with the program. Makes me think, you know, what's their real game? They also say here, since Democrats won control of Congress in November, heavy industries have been nervously watching which route the United States may take on future regulations of carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases scientists linked to global warming. Several lawmakers on Friday introduced a bill to curb emissions. Yay! President Bush has opposed mandatory emissions cuts such as those required by the International Kyoto Protocol. He withdrew the United States, the world's top carbon emitter, from the Kyoto Pact early in his first term. Senator Harry Reid of Nevada, the new Senate Majority Leader, said he wants new legislation this spring to regulate heat-trapping emissions. Other legislators also are planning hearings on emissions. Yay! And in the production chat, yes, Susan, you are absolutely right. About damn time. About damn time. And I saw on that first day of the new Congress, you know, three Democrats discussing alternative energy and other things. And so, you know, maybe the tide is beginning to turn. You know, these outfits that they're no longer funding were those that I was speaking of over the last week or so. These are the same outfits that were paid by the tobacco companies to come up with so-called views that smoking was not hazardous to one's health, or the science was not compelling yet. And we know how that panned out. And if you've never seen the film The Insider with Russell Crowe, I suggest seeing it. It's a fantastic film on the 60 Minutes producer who and former tobacco employee who came out and said, you know, these guys are lying in front of Congress, lying to the American people. They know. They regulate nicotine content. So we'll have to just keep an eye on this and see exactly how Exxon plays its cards in this, because I do not trust them. If there's one outfit out there that I really, really am wary of, it's Exxon. You know, let's see if they end up spending more money on advertising this announcement than actually doing anything to make the right changes, because that's what they did on the cleanup from the Valdez nightmare. You know, they spent, I think it was 100 times as much money promoting the cleanup than they paid on the cleanup itself. Yeah, yeah, Agnes, you know, Dawn dish detergent cleaned up the penguins. Isn't that nice? And it'll do your dishes, too. Anyway. oh, boy. I just get stuck sometimes because, you know, all this bad language just starts to, you know, logjam in my brain. Because I really, you know, have some opinions about outfits like Exxon. But anyway, we're about to head out to our last break, and I've got a related story, kind of, sort of, laterally in a way, after we come back on the rise of the Axis of Oil. And this is kind of interesting from the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources. So we'll talk about that when we come back. So we're going to go out and take this last break for the day. So you still have a little bit of time to get on the program. Dial 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. And we'll be right back with the last couple of things before we wrap it up for the afternoon or the evening. So stick around. We'll be right back.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at headonradionetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
Headonradionetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice, sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hey, have you got a minute?
Huh?
I'm going to say a word. You tell me what comes to mind. Are you ready?
Okay.
Tchaikovsky.
Gesundheit. Okay, what's the word?
No, see, that is the word. What does Tchaikovsky make you think of?
I don't know. Allergy season?
Hey there, how you doing?
What's up?
Who's Martha Graham?
She invented the graham cracker.
No kidding.
Yeah, before her there was only soda crackers.
Hard to imagine. Hey, young lady.
Yeah?
Does the name Man Ray mean anything to you?
Duh. The man ray is a kind of poisonous jellyfish, and it lives in the Gulf of Mexico.
Aha.
It's very deadly.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Tchaikovsky's music, Martha Graham's dance, and Man Ray's photography. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And before we run out of here this afternoon, this morning, whatever it is, wherever you are, this is kind of interesting. From globalpublicmedia.com. Here we go. The rise of the Axis of Oil, big trouble for the United States. Richard Bell, communications director for the Post Carbon Institute, reports on Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources hearing into the geopolitics of oil. Just how bad are the geopolitics of energy from the perspective of the United States? This morning, the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources launched its new year with an unusual hearing into the geopolitics of oil. The consensus conclusion of the witnesses, the United States is in deep, deep trouble, facing the emergence of an axis of oil that threatens to recreate the bipolar world of the Cold War, complete with Russia as a principal actor. Normally, the committee deals with less weighty matters, like fuel efficiency standards for cars. But the incoming chairman, Senator Jeff Bingaman, decided to go for the big picture, and the big picture is not pretty. There was an almost palpable sense of graveness and alarm that lent a chill in the room. The vice chair of Goldman Sachs, Robert Hormats, was one of the witnesses, as was the chief economist of the International Energy Agency, Dr. Faith Birrell. So this was hardly a green group. One senator described the testimony as frightening, and the outgoing Republican chair, Senator Domenici, Republican of New Mexico, said that what you told us today is absolutely startling with reference to the future. There appeared to be a genuine sense that some members really were surprised at how bad things look for the U.S. The shock was so great that after declaring himself a free market conservative, Republican Jeff Sessions concluded the session by admitting that if you looked at energy as a national security issue rather than as a market commodity, Congress might be justified in spending more money on energy research and development and tax credits. The focus of the testimony was on oil in the transportation sector, which will be responsible for most of the predicted increases in demand over the next two decades. Dr. Faith Birrell described
this dependence on oil in the auto, truck, and plane sectors as the Achilles heel of the energy problem. Linda Stuntz, who participated in a Council of Foreign Relations report last fall on national security consequences of U.S. oil dependency, stunned the senators when she said that there was consensus among the report's authors that talking about energy independence for the United States was chasing an impossible dream. Stuntz said that it was not clear whether the U.S. could achieve energy independence even with the most draconian government interventions. Dr. Flint Leverett from the New America Foundation echoed Stuntz's analysis. But there is no economically plausible scenario for a strategically meaningful reduction in the dependence of the United States and its allies on imported hydrocarbons during the next quarter century. Having disposed of energy independence, the panel turned onto the growing threat to the U.S. as the world's only superpower. Dr. Leverett laid out a concise history of the rise of resource nationalism and resource mercantilism. Countries with oil are beginning to use oil for political leverage, like Russia's cutoff of gas to the Ukraine, resource nationalism. And national oil companies in oil-importing states are cutting deals with producers outside the commercial market for oil, particularly China and Indian, resource mercantilism. And, you know, this goes along with, you know, this whole idea of that I've said before. If industry, manufacturing, big business wants to stay in business in the coming decades, they have no choice but to find alternatives to, you know, fossil fuels. They have no choice. And I don't believe in this discussion here, it doesn't say in the article that they mentioned the concept of peak oil, but I would have to think that that would be part of the discussion. Now, you know, it is kind of, we've been maintaining an economy on resources that are running out, and we're not going to be able to maintain this runaway economy. Sustainable growth is a lie, for one, because we can't continue to go on the way that we're going. I don't know how else to say it. And it's kind of interesting that this particular panel has gotten into this. And I think it's a huge step for legislators that the environment is not an issue that's trapped in its own little bubble. It has, you know, far-reaching effects. And so, like I've said before, virtually every issue ends up being an environmental issue by the time you really work down to it. And these are some of the hard discussions that we're really going to have, and we should have been having these discussions ages ago. It also says, in these hearings, it says the Republicans use the hearing to come to the defense of the beleaguered major oil companies. Beleaguered? What a bunch of crap. They're not beleaguered. Record profits. So much money, they don't know where to put it. And the Republicans call them beleaguered. The most prominent visual aid at the hearings was a large chart showing ownership of oil reserves. State-owned oil companies now control 75% of the world's oil reserves. Exxon, the largest commercial oil company, is 14th on the list of reserve owners. Senator Domenici suggested that this chart should put an end to all the attacks on U.S. big oil companies and any efforts to tax them further. Sorry, wrong answer. Wrong answer. So you're number 14 in reserves, but yet you are the single richest company on the planet ever in human history. You want to be that much bigger. And I have no problem with state-operated oil companies. Or actually not oil companies, but reserves. Whatever country you live in, whatever nation you live in, those are your resources that these outfits are able to go in, pull out of the ground for very little effort, and sell at huge profits. So I think now is the time to actually hold these outfits like Exxon responsible for the profiteering that they've done over the years. The profiteering during the time of this war has been incredible, because one of the big differences between this Gulf War and the 91 Gulf War is the United States is picking up the oil and gas budget. In 91, Japan paid the oil bill. Something that's kind of forgotten. You know? And that's a huge expense. And so instead of Japan supplying and paying for the oil, now folks like ExxonMobil and the like are making a mint, while the war that they're helping to fuel is all to help them get more reserves. Oy vey. I really wonder where discussions like this will end up leading. And I really suggest going to globalpublicmedia.com /articles/836, and you will and you can read the rest of this, because it's rather lengthy, but it's it's very telling, this, and the article does wrap up saying there was a steady drumbeat throughout the hearing for bold dramatic action. After closing the hearing, Senator Bingaman was surrounded by reporters. Did he think that Congress was now ready to raise fuel efficiency standards? Bingaman said he did not know and walked away. Walked away, too bad. All right, folks, we got to wrap it up. We're about out of time. So real quick, the credits. The show is produced wonderfully by Agnes Kincaid in the wilds of wonderful West Virginia. The show was announced by Mr. Bob Kincaid. It will be up in just a few moments. Ben Birch at White Rose Society, who handles all our streaming and all our archives and many other fantastic left and liberal programs here on this network and other networks, is running his fundraiser. So whiterosesociety.org, get over there, drop him a bone. Thank you to the Carpenters, thank you to our mods and our bloggers, and thank you for being with me today. We'll see you tomorrow. So as we say here, be good, be green. We'll see you tomorrow. Hoi!
Than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen.